chaotic life of a 12-year-old is too hard, and you never know what's coming next. But in spelling,
things have logic and line.
And in spelling,
there's some greater design. Though in school we seem strange, at the B we seem better.
As we count out each letter in our mind.
And we find we like spelling.
Hey, good morning and welcome to a Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Bill Beckett, the program director for Red River Radio. And opening up this Thursday night, March 30th at 7:30 p.m. and running through Sunday, April 2nd, the Marjorie Lyons Playhouse at Centenary College presents the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, a musical comedy by William Finn. And joining me now in our Knoll Foundation studios are Twyla Robinson, who will direct this production, along with Sierra Werman and Aiden Poland, who will be spelling, or maybe not, in this upcoming production. Twyla, Sierra, and Aiden, thanks so much for coming in today.
Happy
Thank
to come.
You.
So let's, first of all, I have to confess that I am actually born in Putnam County, in case you're wondering. So I'm pretty sure this is all about my hometown. but then again, maybe not, since it was actually produced originally out of a play from New York City. It was an improvisational theater. And Twyla, maybe you could give us some of the backstory on this.
Yes, it was an improvisational play by Rebecca Feltman for her improv group, The Farm. And it varied wildly from night to night. And of course, it was picked up because the person who was playing Schwartzy was actually serving as a nanny to Wendy Wasserstein.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, when you're that well connected, of course, somebody's going to see this is cool.
Right, yeah. So how did it vary night to night? I mean, obviously it's improvisational, so nobody knows from start to finish exactly how it's going to end. But what was the actual improvisational play about?
It was the same basic concept as what is in the musical. It was a spelling bee, and of course, varying elements from night to night is what caused it to flex.
That's the fun of improvisational theater, and also what scares the devil out of you
from
improvisational theater. So one of the interesting aspects of this, and coming from Putnam County, I know all about quirky people. So this is all about rather quirky people.
Yes.
Can we go into some of the quirkiness of these various individuals as we get into the key characters? Let's start with Rona, who is sort of a key character in this. What are her quirks, and who's going to be playing her in this production?
Well, she's played by Victoria Sundin, and she is quirky, but she's one of the three adults. We know we have six children, but we have three adults. And she's quirky because she is that person that we all know who had some type of a success when they were young, and then they've continued trying to have that success for the rest of their life. And so she is a winner of the Putnam County Spelling Bee, and now she hosts it, and then she takes it all over the world. Her life becomes about the spelling bee.
Okay.
So anyone who has made their life about a spelling bee, to me, is on the quirky side.
a little bit, you know. But, I mean, you know, if you have a success, you kind of want to, like, build on it.
Of course.
So, unfortunately, there are such things as one-trick ponies in
Indeed.
Life. And so I think we have a little bit of a one-trick pony there. Now let's go on to Vice Principal Douglas Ponch. He seems to be an interesting character, especially from Rona's point of view.
Yes, he has a flaming crush on Rona Lisa Peretti, and he at one time was the word pronouncer, but had to be removed for health reasons that we will not discuss here.
Okay.
And then, but he has kind of been brought back in on a probationary basis because their word pronouncer is not available, and the things that made him need to step out before are still completely present and completely hilarious. So, yes.
Okay. So that's one of those we ain't going to give it away.
We're not going to give
things.
It away.
There we go. And Mitch Mahoney seems like a rather surreal addition to this cast of characters. Can you give us his background?
Well, he is doing his community service. And so his job is to maintain order at the Bee and also provide comfort for spellers who misspell their word. And there are three great moments of truth in this quirky evening of fun and improv, and one of them belongs to Mitch Mahoney.
Okay. And he is an ex-convict.
Correct.
Doing his community service. So
Correct.
We've hired an ex-convict to keep everything in order. Nothing could go wrong with that. Nothing at all. So, well, let's get into the various cast of characters. And we're going to start with Aiden here. Aiden, you play William Barfey. Is that correct?
William Barfey.
Barfey. Exactly. And as we find out in the story, Barfey is not something he is fond of being called.
He is not.
what is his quirk other than he's in a spelling bee and he has a name that nobody wants to pronounce correctly?
Well, Barfay has a trick up his sleeve, and that's that he has a magic foot that he uses to spell out his word.
Okay, so that's sort of like the accountant that uses their toes, right? Mm. So let's go into Olive Ostrovsky. Give us Olive's background.
Well, Olive, she's an interesting little character. She is one of the characters that's a little bit more on the serious side, but she does have a little bit of innocence still left to her. Her parents are not so much in the picture, so I think that offers a little bit of quirk to her in that she brings a sense of emotion to the play. And you get to experience a little bit more of the serious side with her, which I enjoy getting to portray.
Now, Schwartzy, can somebody actually pronounce full name?
It's a female character, and okay, it's I think it's Logan, but we're pronouncing it Logan. And okay. She has two dads, and so they have gone to the trouble of the very clumsy name they've given her are both of their last names. So it's Schwartz and Grubinier. So she's Logan Schwartz and Grubinier.
What is her particular quirk?
She is desperate to please. Okay. She wants to love and be loved, and the desperation is off the chains. And that she's convinced that if she can just win this spelling bee, then everything she's ever wanted in terms of acceptance will fall into place.
So this character brings kind of a tragic truth to life about a lot of young people who are, again, struggling to find that place of acceptance. And so does she play a pivotal role in kind of revealing some of that angst that goes on in society, especially among today's youth?
She does not really pivot. She has to endure, and she does get eliminated. So you do have to watch her come to grips with the fact that she's being eliminated. Does she have a happy ending? Yes. She manages to make something out of her life, which, of course, she will explain to you at the end of the show.
So somewhere along the line, we find some solace with her character, at least,
yes, we do.
You know, in the term. So even though it's a musical comedy, there's always something underneath with a good musical comedy,
yes,
that you can walk away with. That's one of the reasons
we
like musical comedies. So, well, how about Marcy Park?
Marcy Park is perfect in every way. And she has striven to be perfect because her parents have made her be perfect. And she explains what her life is like living under totalitarian parents. And she does pivot for us and manages to blaze her own path in the midst of this spelling bee when she makes up her mind that she's not going to live this way anymore.
Ah.
And she breaks free. And the hair comes down, and okay.
So
we're all very happy.
Coming to terms, and we can celebrate her triumph.
Yes,
over that. So how about Leif Koningsberg?
Leif Koningsberg has cats.
Lots of cats?
She is very much... how do you even explain it? She comes from a family of people who are named things like Marigold and Landscape and Brook and Raisin and... they are alternative. She is schooled at home. She doesn't march to anyone's drummer. She makes her own clothes. And she is the epitome of quirk.
Well, how about Charlito? What is Chip's particular quirk?
Well, Chip has a chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. He is convinced that he is going to win this. And he is a good Boy Scout. And he does everything correctly. And he is defeated by some of the challenges that visit young men in puberty.
Okay, so we won't go into those
because
those challenges are many and myriad. So, well, we're going to get to Aiden and Sierra here to give us the minor characters because they're also interesting. Who is Carl Grubinera?
Carl is one of Schwartz's fathers.
Okay. How would you describe him? Is he overbearing or is he a lightweight?
Carl is the sort of like, you know, you've got the good cop, bad cop.
Right.
Carl's the good cop.
Okay.
Carl's more of the softer, like...
He's a tad bit more nurturing,
more nurturing,
I would say,
than
towards
Dan.
Schwartzy.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about Dan?
Dan is, he is a bit of a straight line type of parent. He is very strict, very overbearing, sort of militant-like, I would almost say. Very, you're going to get this right now, do it. okay, type of
so,
parent.
So General George Patton in this relationship.
Right, right.
Everybody needs a Patton in their lives. So let's go to Leif's dad. Tell us who Leif's dad is.
Well, we see a small glimpse of Leif's dad and the rest of her family. Not very... the family seems pretty much in disbelief. Disbelief. About Leif actually making it this mm-hmm. far, because Leif actually was the second runner-up in right. her own spelling bee. And they don't seem confident that she has a chance of winning.
One of the things as I was reading about this, it seemed to remind me almost of Ally Sheedy's parents in The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So not what we would call highly supportive and, mm-hmm. and really, right. really there behind you, almost like they're saying, you know, it's almost like Eeyore. Oh, well, yeah, you might win, but probably not.
That's exactly it, yes.
Okay, we know that character. And how about Leif's mom?
Leif's mom is, you know, we only get just a glimpse or two of her as well, but she as well is pretty, a tad bit more nurturing than the dad, a little bit gentler with her disappointment in Leif, I guess that you could say. But she as well, she doesn't have very much faith in Leif at mm-hmm. all. Their whole family is pretty discouraging when it comes to Leif's successes.
And how about Leif's siblings?
Oh, man, Leif's siblings are just...
Brutal.
So we're not saying that Leif has a happy family going on, which is strange because they're supposed to be hippies. You know?
Yeah, you would think.
You'd think all that pot that they'd be happy as a lark, you know? So, but apparently Leif has some struggles there with finding support within her own family.
She does, yes.
Does Leif overcome that?
Yes. Absolutely, because okay. Leif's family is happy within their own capsule.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Leif is trying to leave that capsule.
Right,
and
yeah.
so there's always going to be a little bit of disdain for those who leave the capsule. It'll never work. You're going to come back to us.
Right.
That kind of feel. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, she finds her own way.
Okay. So, and then Olive's mom and dad.
Olive's mom and dad. Oh, where to start? Olive's mom is actually off in India. She is on a spiritual quest, I guess you could say. So Olive has not seen her mom in quite some time, which plays into a lot of Olive's quirk in her, you know, sadness and whatnot. And her father is a very angry man, works a lot, doesn't see a whole ton of him either. So they're very distant parents, not very nurturing, not very parent-like, not a huge role in her... And her life and her whole thing is, you know, she wants to be loved. She wants their approval. She wants them to say that they're proud of her. So, yeah.
Does she ever get any of that approval or love?
You know, I'm not going to say, but she comes to terms with her situation eventually.
Okay. And although not an actual appearance, there is a character called Jesus Christ. And what exact role does... this apparition in the mind of one play?
Well, this is for Marcy. And, of course, Marcy is never pleased that her words aren't hard enough. And so, like a lot of us, she takes the Lord's name in vain and says, Jesus Christ, is that the best word you have for me? And, well, Jesus decides to answer.
Oh, okay. So never ask for a challenge unless you're really up for it. It seems to be the gist of all of that. So now these are not the only spellers that we're going to have.
Correct.
Where are we drawing our other spellers from?
The audience.
Oh, so if you're a quirky speller out there, come on out and see. You'll fit right in with the cast.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's your chance to be on stage.
Especially if you can spell with your toes, you know. That's a good one. You'll give our Aiden character a challenge. Now, this is set as a play where multiple cast members can play multiple roles. So how are you dividing up among your cast the various roles? And then I want to get into everybody that's in your cast.
Well, this is an educational institution, so we do try to involve as many people as we possibly can. So a lot of the role doublings that are suggested in the score,
right.
we are using separate people to do.
Okay.
The only ones that we are recycling is Mitch Mahoney is playing Olive's father, and Rona Lisa Peretti is playing Olive's mother.
Okay.
And those are the only doublings that we have.
So who do you, as students, who's being featured in this other than Aiden and Sierra?
we have Victoria Sundin, who's playing Rona Lisa Peretti, and... Christian Roberson is playing Douglas Panch. Timothy McCoy is playing Mitch Mahoney. Tessa Anderson is playing Marcy Park, and Jordan Vandiver is playing Logan Schwartzen-Grubinier. And who am I missing?
Jesse Bonnevere.
Jesse Bonnevere is playing Leave Coney Bear, and it is tremendous what she's doing, so do come and see. And Emmeline Dyer is playing Jesus Christ, you know, like you do. And am I missing anybody so
Alex.
Far? Alex Cook,
Alex.
He is playing Chip Tolentino, our Boy Scout.
So each of these students, what are their levels? How many are seniors? Give us some of the background on other stuff that they've played in, or maybe this is their first production.
It really runs the gamut. I mean, in terms of from freshman to senior. Of course, Centenary has no graduate program, so the undergrads are up there doing it. There's no graduate student taking their opportunities away. Aiden, who's with us here in the studio, he's a senior. Sierra is a freshman. And gosh, lots of freshmen this year. And then we don't have that many juniors in this show, but otherwise it's very evenly spaced out among age range.
Okay. Sierra, is this your first time on stage?
No, sir. No. I've been doing this for a while, but this is my first production with Centenary.
So your parents were old vaudevillians, right?
Actually, no. I don't come from a very musical family at all. I was sort of the black sheep of the family, you could say. Very sports-oriented family.
Okay. Heavens to Betsy. Well, let's get to one of the quotes that you have in your press release that I liked. It said, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee highlights a child's obsession with winning and how losing can hurt in a good way. Can you kind of explain or elaborate on that?
Character building.
Yeah.
And nothing more. I mean, everyone has to lose. Everyone has to lose. That's how we force our brains into making an adaptation into becoming an adult and learning how to cope and learning how to wake up every day and keep on going. Everyone has to lose. And we see some spellers lose and we see how they deal with it even at those tender ages. You know, you see the tiny little adult in them that they're going to become.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is fascinating.
So it's almost like in an old movie, Star Trek, the Kobayashi Maru, which was there as a test. It was the no-win scenario. It was there to force you to come to grips with the fact that one day you may be in a no-win scenario and you have to face death.
Exactly.
Or you have to face defeat.
Yeah, perfect analogy.
Yeah. So, well, let's get to brass tacks then. How do folks get tickets and what are the show times?
The show times are this coming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will be at 7:30 p.m. And then the Sunday, we have a matinee at 2 p.m. You can go to the Marjorie Lyons website at
www.centenary.edu/Marjorie Lyons Playhouse.
And there you will find a link to go get tickets.
Okay. And any final thoughts you guys want to share?
Yes. These kids have so far surpassed what I have expected of them. And, you know, they always surprise you a little bit. But what has been astonishing about this process is they are surprising me again every single day. The leaps and bounds that happen in between rehearsal, the sheer volume of personal investment that they have given. Do not miss this show. It will be the most rollicking time that you will have in Shreveport for a while. Our music, what's going on in the pit is unbelievable. And you will have a great time, and there's a chance that we'll put you on stage. So
you won't have to sing, though.
No, but you do have to spell.
There you go. Okay. And what's the toughest word that you're going to throw out for the spellers?
I'm not going to give that away. You don't get to prepare. But I will tell you, it has, I believe, 13 syllables.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to be up on stage with you then. Thank you very much. And Twyla, Sierra, and Aiden, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
That was director Twyla Robinson, along with Sierra Warman and Aiden Polin, who all appear in this Centenary College production of the musical comedy, The 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, a musical by William Finn. This production opens up this Thursday night, March 30th at 7:30 p.m., with performances Friday and Saturday night at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, April 2nd at 2 p.m. For complete details, you can visit them online at www.centenary.edu/playhouse or call 318-869-5242. That's 318-869-5242. This has been a Red River Radio Spotlight, and for Red River Radio, I'm Bill Beckett.
But now go with dignity. This ends, but first on our list.
you can go with pride. You've been the best looking dude we've had all day. You're a real smart dude as well. Now go home and spell. Give your squeeze some affection. Come on, make a connection.